that I am a little out of my element this morning, and here's why. Because I am an optimist, a storyteller, a dreamer, to the extent that I try and stay in that place without any exception, right? What I am not is a pragmatist and detailed person that likes to deal in the practical, right? Especially from here, I just love telling stories and allowing them to unfold. And what we have to do today and what we have to do for the next 4 weeks, what is critical to our journey is that we walk through some pragmatic steps that allow us to become a people that take our dreams and our stories and make them tangible and real. If we don't do that, we will have nothing but dreams and stories, and we will not have a tangible life lived out on mission. So last week I got up and I told you guys that this year we are talking about what it means to live on mission for the kingdom. And that sounds inspiring and awesome, but the fact of the matter is we have to step into some things that help us put that into practice, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So I'm preaching with notes today. Woo! I don't even know what to do with that. And I've got to go through a lot of practical stuff, and that's nerve-wracking for me because there's no stories involved. And so I'm pacing in the house yesterday, and I'm telling Brooke, and she goes, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I said to her, "Absolutely. Because this information is life-changing, and it will shape the tangible ability that you and I have to put into practice the things that we believe and the things we want to live out." So, buckle up. Here we go. Let's jump in. As you know, we started with this idea of living on mission last week, and that's what we want to do, live on mission. In order to do that, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to deal with four words, one word each week. This week, we're going to deal with the word discover. Next week, we're going to deal with the word design. The week after that, we're going to deal with the word deploy. And the week after that, we're going to deal with the word develop. All four have D's. You know why? Because I've been meeting and reading with men and women that are life coaches and advisors, and they do everything in strategic, pragmatic ways that you can remember it. Isn't it awesome? I'm like, wow, they all have D's. That's so easy to remember. So hopefully you guys will really enjoy the ride today, because it's gonna make sense and it's gonna be awesome. So it's been a lot of fun to sit down with some people. I had some time specifically to sit down with my friend Hilgard, who is an advisor in life and management and wealth and all those things. And a lot of the material we're covering today has come out of these men and women that are so talented and gifted in the body of Christ to help us take practical, tangible steps to discover what God is doing in us. So today we're going to start with discover. Just so you know, if you're under the impression that somehow today we're going to discover, be done, awesome. Next week, we're going to quickly design a plan. Then we're going to deploy it. And by week four, we're going to be developing people, and it's going to be crazy. You're out of your mind. Okay? All I'm doing today and the next 3 weeks is handing you the plan, all right? Here's what it's going to take for you to really walk into missional living appropriately and tangibly. I hope the plan overwhelms you. I hope you go, wow, that's a lot. I hope you go, that's going to be a lot of work to be put in. Because if you feel that way, you're right on track with me, because it does take intentional process and work to be able to do the things we are called to do to live on mission. Just to put this into a picture form for you visually so you understand why we're going to take the time to call you guys into putting into the work, in particular in this first area of discovery today. Here's why. Take a look at this picture. Here's an outline of your life. It's an encouraging and sad story simultaneously. It begins and it ends. Welcome to the bad news. Your life will end, I'm sorry to tell you. You may make it past 100, but I'm giving you maybe a day or two, and then it's over anyways. And at 100, I doubt anything we're talking about now will really matter to you anyway. So we're going to stick to 0 to 100, okay? And this is a lifespan of a human being. When you talk to people that are experts in this area of coaching our lives and developing the plan, there's different basic versions of this. This is my favorite. This comes from my friend Hilgard as he developed it. Take a look at this. In the first 25 years, you have foundation, right? All of us in our first 25 years of life are developing foundation, our character, our worldview, what we're going to live live for, care for, all those things are foundational. That's why here at Mosaic, our children's ministry and student ministries are not babysitting clubs. We pour deeply into our children and our students because we are developing foundation. And when you get to be 50 and you're trying to lift your entire house up to change the foundation, it is incredibly difficult. So developing a strong foundation early on is awesome and important. In your years from 25 to 60, you jump into developing a framework. This is your life, folks. You've developed a foundation. Now you're building your life on that foundation. And as that life builds, that's going to develop for you this framework in which you function. And then from 60 to 100, you are in the finish section. Yes, you have to finish this because you die, okay? That's how it works. So there is actually a closing out and a finishing. And as we finish out here in the church, as Christ lays it out, he says you want to finish well, right? So what matters up here is huge as it relates to us finishing well. Now, here's how life plays out when you look at this framework. It starts in foundational living, and then you hit a crossroads right in the middle there. We all do, we all will. That's it. These crossroads, obviously this is in general terms, this is not specific to any one of you, this is generally true for all of us, but all of you fall into this category somewhere along this pipeline. Take a look. On the crossroads, you're going to choose one of three directions. The middle direction is called indifference. Many of us, in the areas of our lives that we live in a process of indifference. That is what develops oftentimes when we live in survival mode. I travel around the world to third world countries and places where people are surviving, and you see a lot of indifference. It's, I just got to make it from point A to point B. I don't really care about anything else. And as the economy has changed in our country, and as worlds have gotten more difficult, we easily find ourselves just living in survival mode and just trying to get through. And the big picture doesn't matter so much. Unfortunately, in our culture, because we are driven by the immediate and the instant, we oftentimes don't think far enough to become anything but indifferent. We just are on cruise control. And if you're on cruise control in any of the areas of your life, you are living in indifference, and that is not what God wants for you or I. The other option is that you become intentional about your life and you start indulging, and you live a life of indulgence. So yes, you are not just cruise control. You're very intentional about building your kingdom and indulging in it. This world of indulgence is a world that the Western culture has bred in us in many ways. You advance yourself, you build your kingdom, you get it all put together, you satisfy you. And indulgence has crept its way not only into our financial lives, it has crept its way into our marriages, our families, our workplaces, the globe at large. We don't often ask the question, what do they need from me? We most often ask the question, what do I need from them? We do it in our marriages. He or she is not meeting my needs. That is a form of indulgence. Or we do it in our parenting. We are not going to inconvenience our lives any more than beyond this with our children. We put ourselves ahead of them. That's indulgence. We do it with our money. We do it with everything. And we have very easily find ourselves that I am entitled and I deserve because I've put in, right? And you can find yourselves living a life of indulgence like that. The third option is the top option, and that is influence. And influence is a life where you care about the transformation of others and those around you. You live your life as you develop it and utilize it and spend it and collect resources and whatever you have. You spend it for the sake of transformation in other people's lives, and that starts flowing into every area of your life. Whether it's your workplace or your family, whether it's your social networks, wherever it is, it flows into those areas. And that is the life we are called to if we follow Jesus. Jesus, when he left this planet and he went up to be with the Father, he said to the guys on the ground, I am going to send you to your local region, Jerusalem, to the outer regions, Judea and Samaria, and to the outer parts of the world to do what? To preach the gospel and make disciples of all the nations. Disciple making is taking one human being, exerting influence on them so that they come to know the freedom of Christ and walk into his ways. It is a process of influence. And we are all called in our circles to live a life of influence. So if you are a Christ follower, indifference is not an option on the table. If you're a Christ follower, indulgence is antithetical to the call on your life. And if you're a Christ follower, you and I should be developing our lives to live lives of influence. When we do that, this is what occurs. We become people that invest instead of people that consume. Okay, consumers indulge themselves. They walk into any environment and say, "What can I get out of this?" And investors walk in and say, "What can I give to make this better?" We live in churches today where, unfortunately, in the Western culture in particular, 80% of our churches are consumers. They walk in to consume what the church can give them. And the 20% that walk in to invest what they have, they work overtime to manage the consumption rate at which everybody else is consuming. And Jesus says that is absolutely the wrong way to go about things. And so we have to shift our mindset to become investors rather than consumers in every area of our life. And then what begins to happen is, as we do that, our legacy, that is what we leave for the next group of people, is going to depend on the path we take. You will leave a legacy, folks, whether you like it or not. Your legacy will either be indifference, it will be indulgence, or it will be influence. And if you are a Christ follower, and if I am a Christ follower, it is our call to make sure our legacy is one of influence. We will walk out of this life into the next, and we will carry with us that which we have done. And when we do, and we get to our Savior and God, we're going to say, "Here is my life of," and you're going to fill in the blank. And I'm telling you, our call is to say, "Here is my life of influence, not my life of indulgence or indifference." That is why what we're about to walk through matters so much. Because if you're going to live this life, guess what? You don't wake up tomorrow morning and go, "Okay, that's it. I'm living a life of influence. I'm done. I'm ready to go." Everybody I know that lives an intentional life, investing themselves for the sake of influence to expand the kingdom of God and defend the name of Jesus, has put months, years, a lifetime of work into figuring out what that looks like and what that means. They've read books, they've met with people, they've taken tests, they've studied so that they will know, "This is how I do that." There is nothing about it that is unintentional. So how do we begin this process? There are two things that you're going to have to make sure you do if this is going to be your life story and you're going to live on mission. In the arena of discovery. Remember, we're going to get to the other words the next 3 weeks. In the arena of discovery, here are two things you are going to have to discover if you're going to walk this life. The first thing is this. You are going to have to discover your unique design, all right? You have a unique design. God has uniquely made you. And that unique design, if you don't know what it is, if you don't know who you are, you cannot live intentionally in this life effectively. It may be in parts, but as a whole, you won't. Most of us in America, in the Western culture, have been bred to develop brochures, resumes. That's what we do. We wake up in the morning and figure out what we need to do to ourselves to make us fit into that out there. And we have forgotten the art of self-examination and honesty with ourselves to figure out who we really are. We lie to ourselves to keep ourselves from being revealed to the world. And if you are going to find the pleasure and freedom of living life 100 miles an hour for the sake of the kingdom, you are going to have to get real with you. You have to figure out who you are. And that is not going to happen quickly. That is a lot of work. It takes time and energy and reading and education. It takes time with some people. Now, when I say that, I don't necessarily mean it'll take you years before you know anything about yourself. I just mean it's going to be a journey that has to involve others and help. That's why we have people in this body that are gifted in developing these things to help us see them. The second thing you're going to have to discover is your core purpose. your core purpose. That is the thing you breathe in and out for. Believe it or not, every single one of us function under some kind of core purpose. But for most of us, it is unintentional. We've never thought through our core purpose, so whatever our core purpose is, we're just functioning out of it, and it may not be the purpose that you want to live for. So you have to go and say, God, as I come and follow you and figure out why you designed me, how you designed me, who I am, I also need to ask you, why am I here? Why am I here? What is my core purpose? What is the thing you have uniquely designed me for to affect in my areas of influence so that I can live a life that is going to affect the kingdom of God forever? So, if you are going to discover who you are and you're going to discover why you are here, there are some steps you're going to need to take that you're going to have to work through. Remember, I see your eyes, lots of information. I'm handing you the plan. We're going to affect this plan over this year and create the platforms and the environments where you can learn all this stuff and where you can put all this stuff into practice, okay? So here we go. First of all, this sounds really obvious. Here are a few steps you're going to need to take if you're going to get this right. You have to know yourself. Didn't you just say that, Renaud? Yes, I did, and I'm saying it again. You have to know yourself. I do all that I can in my world to try and know myself well so that I can communicate to the poor people around me that work for me and with me to say, this is who I am, take it or leave it. I try to do that because the better I can communicate, here's who Renaud is, the better they can survive hanging with me, okay? So I tell my staff all the time, love having you here, this is a lot of fun. I tend to try to risk things and kill people because I want to change the world. So if you want a quiet place where we're just going to kind of take it one step at a time, bad person to be around. I tell them I'm ADD, which means that, should we go there? No, don't even bother. It's everywhere, right? I mean, it's a miracle I'm doing what I'm doing right now. So I tell them I'm scatterbrained and I'm all over the place. I make decisions 100 miles an hour and they change constantly. So be ready for anything. If you can't handle that, bad person to be around. See, the more we know ourselves, the more we're able to say, this is who I am. This is what I do, man. And then this is what I do well. And this is where I function well. You have to take inventory of your experiences, all right? God has given you a set of experiences, folks. Some of them have come out of the death and destruction of this world and the enemy of God trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And you've worked through and walked through some tragic and difficult and horrible situations. And you don't ever want to revisit those. And some of you here have walked through some incredible, unbelievable, mountaintop experiences. And you want to talk about those all the time. And for many of us, our experiences, they come and they go and we never take inventory of them and we never go back and look at them and say, God, what are you doing with this? Because the God I serve takes the beautiful experiences as he pours them out onto us and the terrible experiences as the enemy of God works and he weaves them together into his plan to say, I am going to utilize it for the sake of redemption in your life and in the lives of others. When we take inventory of our experiences, along with getting to know ourselves, just who we are, those abilities that are given to us, those places where we're best, when we put those two together, God shapes a unique person that can uniquely influence the world. So if you are afraid of your experiences because you don't ever want to look back at them, I get it. But it's important to take inventory of them because if you leave them hidden, they never become part of the beautiful opportunity for you to become an investor in others' lives and an influencer. Take inventory of your experiences. You have to recognize your spheres of influence and the opportunities that exist in them. Okay? So know yourself. Take inventory of your experiences and recognize your spheres of influence and the opportunities that exist in them. There are a number of ways you can do spheres of influence. If you read different books, they all say it differently, but it's all saying basically the same thing. Here at Mosaic Church, we've sort of laid it out this way. Your spheres of influence exist in these areas. You have a spiritual life, you have a family life, you have a work life, you have a social life, you have a community life, and you have a global life. Each of those are a sphere of influence you've been given in which you can influence people by investing into that arena and see a legacy left there. So our job is to say, I know who I am. I've taken inventory of my experiences. I've brought those two together to find my unique design. And I'm going to say now, here are the arenas of influence I have. What opportunities am I given to exert influence in those arenas based on who I am? Does that make sense so far? Complicated, but that's how we go. Then, once you've discovered that, we're still in discovery, you then say, let me activate my potential now. Let me exercise it. I mean, this is who I am. These are my unique abilities. Here's my spheres of influence. I'm going to do something about it. If it's in your family life and you go, wow, I'm uniquely equipped to be this husband this way for this woman. That's awesome. I'm going to actually put it into practice. Wow. Wives, the same thing. In your workplace, the same thing. In your social life, the same thing. And then, as you spend time in your areas of influence, and you're getting to know yourself more, and you're taking inventory of your experiences, and that's growing, you will begin to see future potential in each of the arenas of influence. You will say, wow, I can influence my family life much more than I am now if I can become that. And then you do that, you take that step, you begin to develop future potential. And go, okay, what is it going to take for me to develop this in myself as God works in my heart? And then, as you are discovering yourself, who you are, your experiences, your areas of influence, your potential, and you're exerting that, you come back to the very last point, which should drive all of that constantly, and you come back to that every single day. What is my purpose, my core purpose? Why am I doing this? Because we can easily get caught up in developing potential and working on things and getting things going, and we forget why we're doing it. And when you forget the why, when you forget the core purpose, you lose the momentum that you need in continuing to develop yourself to become the person God has called you to be. So, we look at life and we say, God, I'm going to discover my unique self, my unique abilities, my unique design. I'm going to discover my core purpose, and I'm going to run in those two places in each of my areas of influence. And as you do that, you will walk into a life of influence, leaving a legacy of stories in people's lives by investing yourself into that. And then God hands us these incredible resources, doesn't he? Our material resources, our treasures, and our time, and the talents that we have. And he says, I want you to utilize these resources in the areas of influence you have in your unique design based on your core purpose. Whoa. And then as we get any resources that we have, we bring them to bear on the unique plan that God is unfolding in our lives. Does that sound simple to you? I hope not. There's a lot of parts to it and pieces. When I sat down with Hilgard, he has a stack of papers this big. And he hands them to me. And he sends me hundreds of emails with different documents. And he goes, here's all the stuff. And I'm like, wow, all I needed was the discovery phase. And he goes, that is just the discovery phase. And I'm like, what? And it's all these exercises and these tools that have been developed to help you discover these things we're talking about. And I'm like, we need to do these things. And he's like, yes. Guys, to step into this is going to take a discipline on your part to say, I'm going to give the time to begin to discover these things so that my life is not indifference. And so that I can avoid indulgence. And so that I can live in influence. Because I want to be a person that lives on mission, and I want to change the world. When we come to core purpose, it is that thing that drives us. In the core purpose arena, as a Christ follower, there are some common to man core purposes that are for you if you're a Christ follower. For instance, I'll give an example. If you're a husband, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, right? That is certainly part of what God is asking you to do. But in your unique design and in your unique experiences with your unique wife, God has designed it perfectly for you to discover how to shape that into a much more directed core purpose in that particular sphere of influence. In life in general, you have to do the same thing. I would argue today that if you're a Christ follower, here it is. You ready? If there's a t-shirt and your core purpose is written on the t-shirt, mine would say, right here, for the kingdom. Defend the name of Jesus. Right? That's what my t-shirt would say. For the kingdom, man. Do it all for the kingdom. Well, that's great, but that's for all of us. Now, I have to discover how God has uniquely designed me so that the core purpose that's born out of for the kingdom is directed at my spheres of influence in the life I've been given. So that the resources I have can come to bear on those things and I can change the world. Here we live on mission. And Jesus said to us through Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, the first letter that was written to the church in Corinth, in chapter 13, he says, this thing that we're part of called the church is a body, single body, a single entity. Believe it or not, not even Mosaic, just the church. Anybody that follows Christ is part of this body. And Mosaic is one of the local expressions of that body. And in that body, we function singularly together for the kingdom in the defense of the name of Jesus. But that body has many parts to it, the Bible says. This is what Jesus said through Paul as he wrote. And he said, some of your fingers and some toes, or some a head, some a hip. It's different. There's a couple of livers in there. You guys are all there, right? And then he says, listen, in this body, we tend to do what we tend to do, right? We hide the parts of the body we don't like so much, and we elevate the parts of the body we like a lot. And he says, don't do that. It's not how it should work. Every part functions perfectly in its place for its purpose, so that the purpose of God to defend the kingdom of God comes true in us all together as we each uniquely affect our particular part of the story. So when you hide that which you want to hide, stop. That's an important part. And when you elevate that which you think is the most beautiful, stop. That part is very important, just as important as every other part. So we come together and we say, God, who am I? Am I a finger, a toe, a knee? Who am I? So that I can live my core purpose as a knee. My knee does very different things, for instance, than my ear. But my knee does the same thing as my ear, doesn't it? It allows my body to fulfill its job today. And that's us. Paul puts it differently when he writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, you are God's workmanship, his design, his poem, his story. And he has uniquely made you, listen to this, it says, for a set of good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. So God will get his work done on this planet with or without you. But let me tell you something. If you live in indifference, you are going to miss out on the wonder and beauty of affecting the universe for the sake of Christ as he allows you to be part of the story. And if you live in indulgence, you will miss the mark wholeheartedly. But if you live a life of influence, investing yourself for the sake of the kingdom and discovering your unique design and your core purpose and living in it, in each of your spheres of influence, you will change the world for the sake of Christ. And I will say to you, you are living on mission. So, over the next 4 weeks, I'm handing you the plan. In 4 weeks' time, as we launch our new life groups and our new life studies and those different things, there are going to be people in our church that are gifted, that their unique design and their core purpose is to take information that's intangible, turn it into these awesome things, hand it to us and say, let me teach you how. And those people have come to me and said, we'll help. And I'm so excited. And my prayer, my heart for you guys is that not one of you, not one, would not say, I will put the time in to discover these things so that I can design a strategic plan for my life as it relates to God. I can deploy that plan and I can develop it. May we become a church where we can say someday, oh no, here at Mosaic Church, most of the people are investors. Few are consumers. If we do that, we will change the world forever. To do that will take work on your part, intentionality on your part, and the help of the people in our body that know this stuff well. Praise God for the body. Let's engage in this story. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for each person in this body that you uniquely brought together in this church to say, here, this person is going to affect this part. And God, I thank you for the men and women I've had the privilege to spend my time with over the last few weeks as they have taken this storytelling dreamer and drawn me into the pragmatism of tangible effects that allow us to actually do this. So God, I pray in their giftedness and in the opportunities and platforms that will be created here for this church to begin to develop these things, work through the exercises and learn about themselves and find their core purpose and discover their unique design. I pray, God, that it would take the dream of living on mission for the kingdom and bring it into reality so that missional living here is not something we talk about, but something that just happens as each of us live in our unique design with our core purpose under the beauty and wonder of defending your kingdom and living for it. God, help us not to wait indifferently for things to happen, but help us to step in and develop ourselves as you give us opportunity to know who we are and know why we're here. May the discovery begin, God. We love you, Jesus. Amen.